Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everything in between, it is your girl, the queen.
Everything in between is crazy. What is wrong with y'all?
Gotta relax. Who do you mean everything in between? Not everybody identifies as a man or a woman. Some people choose to identify as a cat. Like, and I'm just respecting what people identify as. It's
crazy. Or the otherwise gendered.
Yeah, well, however you want to identify, it's cool with me. Like,
can't even defend that.
Unless, as long as you're not a racist or a rapist, I'm cool. And that's racist against all races and kinds, Matt. All races and kinds, Pete.
What about Dre? You ain't even say nothing about Dre. So just
Dre be knowing better. Dre don't be doing that. Y'all be doing that, and Dre don't be doing that.
I'll be going crazy and then be trying to involve me. I'll be like, nah.
Exactly. Like, you're not going to be no accessory.
It's wild. Talking about in between, but I got to relax.
So I've been doing a lot of reflecting over the past couple of months. I have not really been on the show that much. I've been going through my own thing, been crazy busy. And, you know, my question I want to pose to the people is, when did you realize your mental health wasn't at its best, right? And how do you cope with those moments?
That's a very good question.
Because I don't know if it's if Mercury is in Gatorade, retrograde, lemonade. I don't know what's going on, but life could life sometimes. And I feel like I've been hearing so many people go through such hard times right now. And I do want to hopefully open the door for people to feel comfortable about letting people know when they're not okay. I struggle with the superwoman, strong black woman syndrome. So if I tell you I'm struggling, I am at the wit's end of my struggle. And I realized that us as a community, as people, we don't really acknowledge besides like, oh, go to therapy. You know what I'm saying? Oh, go to the, it's not easy. But us as a people, like even humans, you know, we don't acknowledge when we are really struggling and those trigger points. And I feel like that's something that maybe if we brought to the table right now, you know, maybe we could help somebody because people are struggling out here. You get what I'm saying? My mental health has not been at its best. You know, I've been going through things health-wise, you know, career-wise. I've never worked as hard. And, you know, right now I'm just in a space where I'm now, you know, 40 years old and I really want to improve who I am as a person. I think I'm an amazing person. I think I'm pretty, I'm smart, I'm all that stuff. But like, I want to know from you guys' point of view also, like, how do you feel you should be coping when your mental health ain't where it needs to be? I know for me, I just work out a lot. And I don't know if it's running away from my issues or whatever it is. I try to face things head on. And that almost took me out. Recently, like these guys, like y'all know that, you know, I was hurt. I suffered a really bad concussion not too long ago, and it really knocked me on my ass. Not even gonna hold you. And you know, besides, I want people to feel like it's okay to not be okay. You get what I'm saying? So I'll start with you, Pete. Like, hearing that you're going to group with your church it really inspired me to, like, be like, look, that could be a really good coping mechanism.
You know, to answer your first question, I think for me, I realized that my mental health was really an issue during the pandemic. You know, I moved out from my mom with my mom into my place in the midst of the pandemic. And I'm always a person, I've learned this in therapy. So I go to individual therapy You know, I do couples therapy with my fiance as well. You know, things like that. I started all that after my mother passed away. But I'm always a person that has strived for community. One of the things that I've learned about myself going through therapy is that I've always been that person, you know, who has wanted that, who does better in community, does better in groups, does better in with people around. And I always struggled growing up. I had pockets of friends, but I was always kind of like that person that felt like I was on the outside of every friend circle I was in. I was never really in the circle. I was always one of those people that orbited the circle. You know, the way that I always used to say it was like, I was the person that you didn't make an invitation to your party for, but like, if I found out about the party, I was like, oh, I heard about your party. Like, oh my God, I completely forgot to get you one. Yeah, you'll definitely come on. You know, you're invited, but it's like, yeah, but you didn't make the time to actually think about inviting me. But you're like, oh, you know, you're invited. So, that's how I kind of felt most of my life. And I was always searching for community. My family was always very fractured. My mother's side of the family is super fractured. My dad's side of the family, as I got older, started to fracture a lot more, especially after my grandmother passed away. So during the pandemic, my mental health really took a hit because I was single at the time. I was now living on my own. You know, so it's just me and my dog. I'm working from home. So I don't even get escape opportunities to go to work to interact with people. Like, I'm stuck at home. I'm not doing anything. And it was really bad. Like, my depression came back full force. It was really bad. There were days where it got really, really bad where, like, I would have days of, you know, moments of suicidal ideations and stuff like that. Like, just didn't want to really deal with it anymore. And really, it was my dog. My dog kept me going. You know, I wanted to be there for my puppy and my dog. And, you know, I had that routine of having to go to work every day. So that first summer, I think the summer of 2021 was really kind of, the summer of 2020, I should say, was really bad for me. And then luckily in 2021, I was able to meet my fiance, my girlfriend at the time. But she'll even tell you, she could even tell you in that very beginning, I was not in the best place. I was not in the best state of mind. I was not the best person. And then obviously, as y'all know, 6 months after that, my mother passes away. So a lot of that compounded. And I grew up in a Puerto Rican hood household where it was, you don't let them ever see you cry. You don't ever let them see you be weak. You know, emotion is weakness. Crying is weakness. If they know that it affects you, they know how to affect you, right? So you never let them know that things bother you because you never want to show that weakness. And over the course of my relationship, like, those are the things that I've had to go through in couples therapy and like singles therapy, where it's just like talking about those things, where it's like the okay to be vulnerable, the okay to have conversations, feeling like you can, that what you say is validated. Right. You know, one of the things that has struggled in my relationship that I've been growing with every single day is the idea of, you know, not having to feel like I have to win every conversation. Right. Because I grew up in a household where, God rest her soul, you know, if I had a different opinion than my mother, I had to fight not just to be heard, but for my opinion to be accepted, for it to be validated. I had to give like an entire business presentation just to validate the fact that I had an opinion or a way of wanting to do something, and then hoping that it wasn't ridiculed or whatever afterwards. And so that transferred over even into my relationship, having to fight about everything, having to always feel like I had to win the fight, instead of just understanding like we could have two different sets of opinions and it's okay. And she still validated me even though it was different. For me, best ways to cope. I mean, listen, I haven't done it in a while, but writing was always a big thing for me. Just writing down how I feel, because if it's stuck in here, it starts to get really perverted. You start to let emotion get a handle of it. You know, putting it down on paper and being able to go back to it and look to it when you come to a clearer mind, especially when I'm upset about things. You know, writing it down and then being able to come back to it when I'm of much clearer mind and heart. And being able to do that, you know, I've obviously gotten back into, you know, church and things like that. So those are really my big things, is, you know, trying to get right with God and, you know, trying to, I think the biggest thing for me has been letting things that I trying to control too many things. And that has been a really big thing. I think for me, it's just really understanding that letting go of control, as scary as it is very necessary sometimes. I guess you're next, man.
No, I think that that was really valid. I wanted to give you the space to say those things without saying an opinion in between. And, you know, meeting you during that time, that summer of 2020, I feel like I was quick to embrace you because I intuitively knew that you were in a dark place. I don't know what it was, but it was like, you could ask the boys, like from when you first joined the show, I didn't know you from Adam. And I was like, look, we got to get him into our community. That's, you know, that's just who I am as a person. Because like, I feel like with my intuition, I can see how other people are hurting, but I neglect when I'm feeling that in kind. Mm-hmm. And we focus a lot on, you know, especially like when you're parents or you're taking care of a parent or you're taking care of a family, you tend to push your feelings away. And unfortunately, it always comes to a head. And sometimes it comes to a head in very ugly ways.
You're very right. You know, and we're told, like, don't worry about yourself. Like, worry about. I'm the same way. Like, I will constantly bend over backwards to make sure that, you know, my fiance is happy. Like, what do you want? Like, we even get into, like, little fun, petty little fights about, like, going out to dinner. And she's like, where do you, like, my birthday. She took me out. Her mother took me out for my birthday to a restaurant. And they were like, well, where would you like to go eat? And even when I came home, I was like, okay, so I have, like, four or five different options. Like, what do you think will work better for your mom? Because her mom has certain dietary restrictions. And her mom had to, like, yell at me, like, no, you pick where you want to go. This is your birthday. Like, this is about you today. And I'm like, but no, I want to be respectful of what you need and what you want. And that was the way I was raised. It was always just like, it's never about you. Yeah. You're the last one to be dealt with. You're the last one to be taken care of. And essentially growing up as a man as well, being raised by my mom, it's another thing. My mother was the same way when she told me, she's like, you take care of everybody first. And my mom always embodied that as well, being a single woman for a lot of her life. Like, she took care of herself last. And when I got older, I took it upon myself to make sure, like, no, Ma, I want you to take care of yourself now. Like, I don't need you to worry about me. And that was one of the big things where, like, me and my mom used to always clash, because when I got older, and for me, I was always like, all right, now it's my turn to push you to your best self. You've spent 20-some years pushing me to my best self. Now I'm going to push you to your best self. But my mom was still very much in that mindset of like, I'll get there when I get there. You're still my son. I'm still going to worry about you. And it was more like, I need you to worry about you. And we used to fight on that, because for me, it was like not understanding that my mother wasn't ready to move out of that space yet. You know, I actually had that revelation in a conversation literally about a week ago, where I was just like, my mother had me when she was 19 going on 20 years old. My mother had me, I was born in April. My mother's birthday is the end of May. So when my mother had me, she was 19. A month and a half later, she turned 20 years old. My mother was married to my father. My mother was in no space to be a mother and a wife at 20 years old. And so that's what led to my mother and my father splitting apart, because my mother still wanted to go and be a 20-year-old. Right. And my dad, being 29, almost 30 at the time, was like, I need a wife at home. And my mother wasn't ready for that. And so my mother rebelled against that. And then they separated. And my mother raised me on her own. And my mother worked 3-4 jobs, made sure she was always there to make me breakfast, take me to school, tuck me in at night and make sure that I fell asleep before she went to her overnight job, check my homework every day, make sure my bag was packed, respond to anything that happened at school, you know, for 20 years. And then when I got old enough to handle myself, my mother kind of went to that space of like, okay, now I get to live my life. but her life was still being a 20-year-old. And so my mom was in her 40s trying to be a 20-year-old, and I was only seeing my mother as a 40-year-old at the time and saying, no, mom.
Be a 20-year-old.
Right. It's like, I need you to start making the moves that you need to make. Like, let's get you out the hood. Let's get you here. Let's get you a better job. Let's get you this. Let's get you that. I'm thinking about pushing my mother forward, not realizing that she needs that space to kind of just be herself.
That's important.
You know, that's, we can talk about a lot of these young parents. Like, you know, a lot of them, it's not them not rebelling, but it's like, yo, they never got a chance to be this, you know, and now are they willing to sacrifice that? Like, I have that in my relationship. I wasn't some dating Don Juan when I was growing up. I didn't have girls on call and the hoes on deck and this and this, right? So when, you know, I was always in relationships, and even though they were short or whatever, I was always in relationships. I never really had my hoe phase, right? So now here I am in a whole relationship where I'm engaged, about to get married. And even when we were before that, my girl, my fiance would tell me, like, are you sure there are not things you need to do in life? Because once we get past this point, like, you got to be willing to leave that behind. And I think that's a big thing of understanding with people, like, are they willing to leave certain things behind and walk past them? Or do they need to live in that moment first and then get past it?
Huge. Matt?
How did I know? I kind of knew early on. Like, I knew probably like when I was like 22. And that ultimately why I moved to Philly. There was a lot of stuff going on in Brooklyn at that time. You know, me and my mom clashing. Me and my mom's boyfriend had an incident. I was doing a lot of shit that I'm not proud of. But, how I would cope with a lot of things was my music, me writing, me producing. And the best way to do that, keep my foot going forward, was me moving to Philly. Because ultimately I was by the studio, so I would produce and create. But that was just like, I've come to realize now with everything that has happened and has transpired, that music was just a band-aid. It wasn't something that it wasn't the fix. It was just temporary. So ultimately,
was a band-aid though, because it could just be your outlet for survival.
No, I mean, because though it made me feel better, I didn't conquer what the real problem was. And the real problem was, I never felt accepted from anybody. I looked for approval, right? So I looked for approval from my parents. I looked for approval from, like, friends. Not necessarily women that I dated early on. I didn't look for that approval for the women that I dated until I got married. Never got that approval. Even the recent situation, like, yeah, she gave me affirmation sometimes, but ultimately I still was kind of searching for that approval. And honestly, just the depression leads for me more or less to me not liking myself, mm-hmm, or who I become in certain aspects of my life, right? Mm-hmm. The anxiety is looking for that acceptance or that approval, like, I'm doing right. Because for a long period of time, I was doing a lot of wrong shit, but I was doing wrong shit for survival. But music, somehow, and it sounds bad to say that, music kind of got replaced for my kids. Like, I found myself living for my kids, because like Pete, I did have the suicidal thoughts. I want to say that more or less came about like from 2020 during the pandemic, right after my mom passed. The guiltiness of the whole thing with me and my mom, the guiltiness of my group with my brothers not working out because I In my mind, I did something selfish. I chose me and I moved to Philly, not realizing that I was the orbit for a lot of my friends and a lot of my family members. And, you know, like, I was the center of all of it. So it was like everybody, we all connected at that house in Canarsie. So it was like when I left,
that you were the place.
Yeah, that safe space was gone. So everybody eventually had to do their own thing and was, you know, figuring out their own shit. And when I got married, I really got so far away from everybody and everything. So it's like reconnecting now with everybody, like, it's soothing because, again, I felt like these are the people that knew me the best and I was the most comfortable and, like, no judgment free because we was just all present and just enjoying each other's time and space, and we were a rock for each other because we all knew what the other was going through. And it's like right now they're all trying to do that for me now, which is crazy. But all in all, I realized, like, I just gotta fight the shit head on, and I gotta find out why I don't like myself or why I might be uncomfortable with being alone. There's that too. And why do I take blame for shit that I shouldn't take blame for?
Agreed.
So, I mean, that there's therapy, but I got to face that fear of being alone. And then I got to face that fear of really having that conversation within myself on why do I do some of the things that I do to myself? Why do I take blame for my mom passing away? Because I felt like I broke her heart. There's that. How to be present for my dad, who's still here. Even though we've had a rocky relationship, like, we have the second chance in a sense because I'm here with him. And he's been present, more present than he's been, like, me growing up, but he's present now through the hardest times with the divorce and me being a single dad of two little girls and, you know, the recent shit, you know, like, it's just like I said, I just gotta face a lot of shit head on, and I gotta find peace within myself.
Right, you're right, and you would think that, like, listen to your story, listen to Pete's story, and you know, I'm always like a girl's girl, always. But when I hear what you guys say about validation, about, you know, suicidal ideation and stuff, and I realized over time, and I've always realized that men are not raised to feel, and they're not raised to feel and be validated when they do feel. When a man shows his feelings to someone, sometimes a woman, you know, they look at them as less than because they want them to be strong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Me personally, I have always been the opposite, maybe because I've always been kind of secure within myself, that if my partner showed that vulnerability, that is a layer of trust that I was able to unlock in that situation, and it should not be weaponized. You know, and like I said, I'm not an apologist for bad behavior. I've never been, as you know me. But there's something to be said about the validation that young men feel in the household while they're raised. If they're raised by a single mom, if they're raised by a single parent. You know, some of us were raised on love. Some of us were raised on survival.
Yeah.
And a mix of both. Because you, for the most part, most people I know can't say that their parents didn't love them. I can say that your parents can only love you as much as they love themselves.
Yeah, for the most part, I felt like my parents just had this ideology.
You know, yeah.
They had this figure of, like, he's book smart, he's street smart, he knows how to handle himself. So
yeah. We
don't have to pay too much attention to him because
he can take care of himself. Same.
Yeah, my youngest needs all the attention, and we got to make sure that he's right. So in their mind, they thought that they were putting more respect and more confidence in me versus not realizing that I felt neglected or I felt like I wasn't worthy of attention or worthy of that, you know, that affirmation or that love. Because I didn't hear my dad tell me that he was proud of me until he realized I was working two jobs and I was maintaining a household with a wife and kids.
He's proud of me. You did that. And, you know, everybody would think that when I was facing cancer, a work transition, a breakup, and the death of my aunt all at the same time, that would be my breaking point. My breaking point came when everything was at the up and up.
Shit, that was the opposite. My breaking point came when I didn't have my kids for 3 months. That was my breaking point.
I know. My breaking point came. I didn't even realize that I was at my breaking point until I was laying down and did not have the strength to get out of bed. And it took my mom to kind of like speak that life back into me. You're like, you would think from the outside looking in, like she has a beautiful daughter who's doing amazing in school. She has a wonderful career that she's doing really well in. You know, she earns what she has. She travels the world. She does this. She does that. But
it's pressure.
We sometimes crumble off the pressure. I put a lot of pressure on myself, as you know. You know me for a very long time.
Right.
And I feel like it was in that moment of, I've done all this, what's next?
Because then you feel like it's not enough.
And you start to question your fortitude. And it's the smallest thing. For me, it was my concussion. When I could not remember two whole days of my life, that put me in a dark space. Yeah. You know, but it's really important to acknowledge. I feel like if anybody takes anything from this, I know it has nothing to do with sports or whatever, but I've been talking to a lot of people recently. And almost everyone I know is having a hard time with something. And I'd be remiss to not, you know, tell you that I empathize. Not only I'm not empathizing from an ivory tower. I'm empathizing because as good as things could be going, if your mental health ain't right, it means nothing. It means nothing. You know, I'm feeling a lot better now. I tell you, like I'm getting back to me and whatever the hell that even means.
I'm working on it.
No, whatever it is, like always, I can, because Dre has not been on the line for like 15 minutes.
I've been here listening the whole time. I'm here. I've been listening the whole time. I've just been moving back and forth. Yeah, you didn't ask me.
That means answer the question.
Bro. I'm messing with Tay. I'm messing with Tay. But in terms of what you guys are saying, when I felt like something is wrong, when something was wrong, you know, a lot, you guys been through it with me when I went through my breakup, and you guys clearly saw it on my face, and I was wearing it on my face and not knowing it myself that I was wearing it on my face and walking around as if everything was cool and it wasn't. And it's written all over me to the point where there were things that I'd love to do. I like normal stuff for me, getting up, wanting to play my video games, wanting to go outside, wanting to go play basketball. I didn't want nothing. I didn't want to do nothing. Everything was more just like I was on autopilot. I was just walking. I'm just like, all right, this is how it's going to be. And I'm just have to figure out my way through it. And I think one of my biggest issues is trying to fix problems that I have no reason trying to fix, and just letting stuff die where it's supposed to die at. just let those bridges burn. Let them do whatever they're supposed to do. Trying to fix things and trying to make people happy when in the space where these people are not giving me that same grace, giving me that same energy, has been one of my biggest downfalls, or one of my biggest issues in my life, just in general, because I used to tie my happiness to other people being happy. I no longer do that, because if people decide that I'm not responsible for people's happiness, you know, Will Smith going through whatever he's going through, but he said this one thing, he said this one time on Red Table Talk, and I agree with it. I'm not responsible for anybody's happiness but my own. I'm not responsible for anybody else's happiness but my own. And if you come into my life, come happy, because it's not my job to make you happy. And one of my other biggest issues is that I'm my own worst critic. I'm my own worst critic. I'm my biggest worst critic. And I don't celebrate my successes enough. I don't celebrate my successes enough. My problem is I'm always looking forward. I'm always looking for what's next. What else is there to do? I'm never happy. I'm never satisfied. Just sitting, waiting idly for the next thing to happen. I don't celebrate my accomplishments enough. And after having this surgery, understanding like, yo, you got a second chance at life. And, you know, some people may think I'm overreacting, but I'm not. I lost 90 pounds. I don't know where my body was at or how close to it could have been to something happening. But feeling like I have a second chance at life, a second go round, I've been learning a lot more to appreciate more of myself and the people more around me. And because, like, even sometimes now, there's, you know, I look inside the mirror, I'm like, yo, I'm a totally complete different person physically. Sometimes that messes with me mentally. I'm like, yo, not in the way of like, oh, where am I going? Like that. But like, I look at myself like, yo, what's going on? And I forget, like, oh shoot, I just had a life altering surgery and things are rapidly changing. I can even feel like in my mood sometimes that like I sometimes get bothered for no reason about stuff. And, you know, I don't show it to y'all because it's not anything that y'all are doing. It's just a lot of it is stuff that's going on my end to where it's like, why is this going on? Or why am I not where I need to be at? And, you know, it's hard, but I'm working day by day to not put all that pressure on myself to be where I need to be at, like right now. So.
I feel like that's one thing we really all have in common is the fact that we're the hard. Yeah, we critical to each other, but we're more critical to our own individual selves. And I'm mad Pete left before I can apologize to him because we are kind of both going through a rough time at the same time.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, y'all definitely was.
Y'all were.
I didn't realize how I was coming on. And like I said, depression is crazy. When you're going through depression and anxiety and grief all at the same time,
it's a recipe for disaster.
Exactly. And Dre knows, because there's been a couple times he had to talk me off the ledge of trying to like finish everything, you know? And it one thing I say that I have to really work on is, Like I pretty much told you guys, like that acceptance and not feeling that love from even when I was a kid, I felt alone for a long time. So I can be with people that I know genuinely love me. I like it, it's overwhelming sometimes how much love I get, and it shocks me sometimes. Like, I'll never forget when everybody found out that, you know, the marriage was over, and the amount of people that reached out to me ready to come out here to go come after her, whatever the case may be. Or just like, yo, you don't deserve that. You deserve better. Like, I need everybody to understand, because I know they all watch the show. They all listen to what we're doing. I appreciate every last one of y'all. I love every last one of y'all. Like, it's not taken for granted. It's not that I don't see it. It's just, again, sometimes my mind is in five different avenues at the same time. It is literally Queens in my head sometimes. It's a boulevard, an avenue, a street, and a palace, and a terrace.
All in the same block.
All on the same block. That's how it is. And the only current and present is if we're doing the show or if I'm doing music. That's why I said maybe I need to go back to Philly, right? Because then I'm back to my music. I'm in the studio every
day. I've been telling you need to go back to Philly. I said you need to go back.
Did you go to Philly this past week?
Yeah. I was in the studio. Night one, I was in the studio.
Oh, it would have been nice to have heard from you.
I hit you up. You didn't answer the phone.
When?
I hit you up night one. I got out there early that morning. I wanted to try
to text you. We text you on Saturday.
We both text you.
Yeah, texting me and telling me that you were in my city. Well, not I would never claim that, but like,
hey, I told you weeks before I'm gonna be in Philly that weekend. I said I'm going. I was trying to go to Wale Mania, and then I was like, yo, I'm gonna go. I got a studio session that weekend. I was supposed to be in studio the whole weekend.
No, but I would want to. I do want to say shout outs to Wilkins though, because he founded his business. Because I think it was one day we were texting, and I'm like, yo, you didn't even ask me if I was okay, bro. And I lost my mind. And he, during the week in Philly, he found a way. I was so busy. He caught me at the gym. And when I finally like unloaded how I was feeling and how I've been feeling those past couple of months, it was the first time I had ever fully vocalized the extent of it all. And I was like, whoa.
Wait, like everything?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Everything. And I finally was just like, I am going through a lot at the same time. And when the pressure's on to perform as best as you could. So I could have either went two ways. And I would say I have to celebrate the win, because I could have been a punk bitch and stayed in bed.
Want to hear something crazy though? The irony about what you said about Wilkins and Janelle both, they know you're the closest to me and Dre. So though they won't hit you up because they know where you're at in life and they know how busy you are, they know with me and Dre are constant, right? So they'll hit us up and they'll ask us, like, yo, is she okay? Everything good? Like, I know it's a lot. I know it's crazy. I'm like, she all right. She, like, there's a lot, but Tay strong. And when she's ready to talk about it, she'll talk about it. But Wilkins has asked about you, and Janelle has asked about you.
Nah, he came to see me at the hotel at the gym, right? And I was working out, talking to him the whole time. And I'm like, it felt good to get it all off my chest, because I was sitting with how I was feeling for a few months. And it, like I said, it was exacerbated by a concussion.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? And that's when I'm like, am I having a concussion or am I having a fucking nervous breakdown?
The crazy thing is you had the concussion. Remember my appendix burst and almost died? Remember that? That was my head down and figured the fuck out. Something's going on.
Yeah.
I know.
You know, but I just wanted to like open up this platform, because I'm usually not the most vulnerable, warm and fuzzy person there is. You get what I'm saying? But I do think something needs to be said, that you know our sports thoughts, you know how we talk about each other and to each other and stuff like that. But it's very important to know that you never know who's going through it.
Amen.
I go through it daily. I got to take it a day at a time, though.
One day at a time. That's what we have.
I'll tell you one thing though. After the last situation, I just know it, you got to look in the mirror and go, like, motherfucker, you got to put yourself first.
Yes. And you know, that's another thing that I wanted to say too. If you don't learn the lesson that's being presented to you in some situations, you are going to continue to go through them until you are forced to prioritize and learn and ingest what you are supposed to learn from this.
Yeah.
I was realizing I was following the same destructive, because I'm chaotic by nature. Like, people be like, oh, they want approval, oh, they want this. My biggest issue is that I don't give a fuck about anybody's approval.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, but that's an issue in itself. Because it can cause you to be disassociated, dispersonal, distant. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm at an arm's length. Like, most people could say that they know me, but do you really? I'm very complicated. You get what I'm saying? And very complicated. Very complicated.
Chinese arithmetic. I got to get a calculator and a translator.
Yeah, I'm very. So where, you know, where people feel validation is so important and fitting in and not feeling alone, I thrive in my solitude. So I find it hard to be, and I didn't grow up feeling that way. I had a big family. I had cousins. My parents did the best that they could. But it's just me. I don't know if it's like this anarchist like mentality that I have, but I don't seek approval from anybody. But then that also can cause you to not be self-aware. You get what I'm saying? So, but I thought it was just really important to have this conversation at this point, because we have people in our orbit, in our lives, mm-hmm. in our circle, you know, who watch the show, who could be struggling right now.
And we would never know.
So just know, like, I hear you, I feel you, I see you, and I'm here for you. That's it. And that is Tavia's tea time, bitches.
I'm sorry. Yo, learning...
I have Tavia, like voodoo lighting in my room, but go ahead.
Learning Tavia with, like, I feel like I know how to read hieroglyphics now. Like, because, like, at the beginning, I knew Tavia just based off the chat. The chat that we all had. Mm-hmm. I knew more of her from the chat and her takes on stuff. And you know that, and just based off that, I was like, yeah, she would be a good fit. And then learning who you are, some of the things that tick you, some of the things that make you happy. Same thing with you, Matt. Learning who you guys are has been definitely a dope experience for me. Because like I said, gaining more. You know, and Peter as well, gaining three more family members to my family is amazing. And you know, I don't take that for granted. We may disagree about stuff. We may go back and forth, but at the end of the day, you know, that's what family does. That's what we do. So, you know, I love the process of learning who you guys are and you guys learning who I am. And yeah. That's really what I wanted to say.
All right, y'all. Let's keep rocking out with the cock out.
Gotta relax.
All right. For the Voice of Federation, P. Rosado. For BK, man.
I gotta relax.
For the Queen.
I didn't say rock out. That's a saying.
Oh, we went. The oh, boys. We just had a whole incident. Like the
baby. It's usually you.
Why would you mention dicks? Like, can we have an episode?
Rock out with your dicks? Cock out, ladies and gentlemen. It's Saturday.
You gotta relax.
All right. Uno.